The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Of all the great figures in the early church, Peter and Paul were indispensable. In many ways, they were opposites of each other. Peter's original name was Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, the son of John. He was from the fishing village of Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. He was no doubt a hardworking man and a skilled fisherman, and he was probably also a skilled businessman. Recent discoveries in archaeology tell us that Galilean fishermen did business with much of the Eastern Roman Empire, and Peter owned a boat, so he was not a poor man, as many have assumed. The language spoken in his home would have been Aramaic, but he would have known some Greek as well if he was doing business with other people in the Roman Empire. He also would have known some Hebrew because he was Jewish. But Peter was not an academic, a man of books. We know that Peter was married because the Gospels speak of his mother-in-law. We also know that Peter became the leader of the earliest disciples of Jesus. And then we have Paul. Paul's original name was Saul. He was from the town of Tarsus, a small town near the southern coast of present-day Turkey, not all that far from the Holy Land. Therefore, Paul was a member of what was and is still called the Jewish diaspora. That is, those who at some point moved to other parts of the world from the Holy Land, but still practiced Judaism. Though he took up the trade of tent making, young Saul was a scholar. He was a lover of books. Most likely he would have received a solid Greek education because of where he lived. He would have studied Plato, Homer, Aristotle. He became in time not exactly a polished Greek writer, but certainly a vigorous and convincing one. When he was still a young man, Saul was sent to Jerusalem to study with the greatest Jewish scholar of the time, Gamaliel. This would be a bit like a young musician being sent to study music at something like Juilliard in New York City. In Jerusalem, Saul would have been immersed in the study of the ancient scriptures, learning the various methods of interpretation taught by the rabbis, becoming, as he himself said, zealous for the faith of his fathers. Switching back to Peter for a moment, from the gospel today, one day Jesus asked Simon and the other disciples who they think Jesus is. No one in the crowd speaks up except for Simon when he says that not only is Jesus the Christ, in other words, the Messiah, but that he is also the Son of the living God. Jesus then sees in him an intuitive sense that God had infiltrated to give him this correct answer. And because of that, he changed his name on the spot, something that was often done in the Bible when a person was given a new, entirely life-changing mission. And so he calls him now Cephas. In English, we would translate that as, believe it or not, Rocky. If you bring it into Latin, in Greek, it was Petros. So, which comes into English as Peter. Jesus said that he will build his church on this Rocky, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. Peter, with all of his weaknesses, impulsive attitude, his sins, nevertheless knew who Jesus was. And upon that knowledge, the church was built and continues in being. But the bottom line about Peter is that he loved Jesus. Remember that line in John's Gospel after the resurrection, and Peter meets Jesus on the shore when he's fishing, and Jesus says to him, "Simon, do you love me?" And Simon says, "Lord, you know that I love you." That's the key to knowing Jesus as Peter did. Saul, on the other hand, never met Jesus, as far as we know, while Jesus was still walking the earth in the flesh. But he certainly knew the movement that Jesus started. We were originally called followers of the way, and it was later on that we were called Christians. But this new movement, everything about it got on Paul's nerves. It seems to this passionate lover of the law to be a blasphemy, a betrayal, a danger to Judaism. And therefore, with all his skill in speech and organization, and with all of his characteristically zealous energy, Saul went after this new movement. We hear from his own mouth how zealous he was persecuting the church. And then came that moment when Jesus met Saul on his way to persecute Christians on the road to Damascus. Here's how Paul later described that event. "The one who had called me from my mother's womb chose to reveal his son to me." So Paul got it too. Once he'd seen and encountered the risen Christ, he knew who Jesus was too, the Son of God, just as Peter had also confessed. So powerful was this experience that Saul, and now his name is Paul, another life-changing thing is going on. Paul could say that compared to Christ, the law that he so loved was so much rubbish to him now. It didn't matter at all. So it changed him decisively forever. So like Peter, Paul fell in love with Jesus Christ. Not long after this, we hear that Paul and Peter met in Jerusalem. They spent several weeks together comparing notes, comparing their understanding of Jesus and his teachings, and decided that they were on the same page. It was concluded that Peter should be the apostle to the Jews of the world, and Paul to the Gentiles. And so it went. They met again, undoubtedly, many years later in the city of Rome, sometime in the early to mid-60s of the first century, probably in the Jewish quarter of ancient Rome. And they both died in the first persecution of Christians established by Emperor Nero in the year 64 of the first century. Remember what happened? Nero wanted to do an extensive building project in the city of Rome, but there were people there, poor people. So he had a fire set in that sector, and then he blamed this new fledgling movement, now called Christians, he blamed them for the fire, and at that point made Christianity illegal. And that was true until the year 313. That's where all of our early martyrs come from. And Peter and Paul were two of the first. Paul, because he was a Roman citizen, had the privilege of being beheaded, which was an easier death. Peter was to be crucified, but he refused to be crucified as his master was, Jesus. So he demanded to be crucified upside down. These men were both in Rome because they knew that Jesus was not just king of the Jews, but king of the world. They both knew that Jesus, not Caesar and his ilk, was the true Lord. So they went to the capital of the world with that message. And it is because of them that we followers of Jesus are here today. So it's appropriate that the church celebrates these two palpably real human beings who loved Jesus Christ and who bequeathed that love across the centuries to us. May they pray for us today who seek, just as they did, to tell the world about Jesus and to fall in love with him.